This is the Slaw Sports Show on Anchor.fm, with weekly episodes highlighting and breaking down the biggest stories across sports. Make sure to keep up with the latest episodes and breaking news on Twitter by following at Slaw Sports Show, and keep up to date with the latest breaking news around the NFL. The official site of the show, knoble87.wixsite.com/slawsportsreport. And now, here's your host, Cole Noble.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. That's right, we're back here on the Slaw Sports Show. No longer in North Carolina, we are actually in beautiful Los Angeles, California. That's why there's been a little bit of a delay, and you notice the change in scenery in the background. But we're in Los Angeles now for the rest of the spring, out here studying abroad with school. But I figured, hey, we're settled in, and there's stuff to talk about here on the Slaw Sports Show. We got to get back to it. It's been too long since we've been on the show, so we're back here today discussing some few things. And I mean, as you see right here, the 2022 QB market has been the talk of the town throughout the NFL Combine this week. Everyone's there. All of, you know, the behind the scenes is going on. You got agents, you got prospects, you got general managers, head coaches, and reporters all there in Indianapolis throughout the week, still there today with linemen, and I think cornerbacks are today. We had quarterbacks yesterday and wide receivers, so the combine going on strong in Indianapolis right now. A lot of great prospects to look at, you know, a lot of crazy, you know, huge, crazy numbers yesterday out of the wide receivers, some big throws by the quarterbacks, but all of that considered before you get to the draft. You got free agency, and that's what we're talking about here today with the quarterback market. What teams are going to go out and try to get a quarterback in free agency before the draft even happens? So coming up here on the Slaw Sports Show, just what we have scheduled in advance. We will be doing more shows down the line in the coming, you know, few weeks as free agency continues. We will be talking about the new head coaches, what's in store for them. Potentially next week, the week after that, and you know, as free agency rolls around, once free agency starts really starting to pick up, we'll do a free agency edition episode as well, discussing some new free agents landing in their new homes. We got our mock draft 2.0 coming later at the end of this month when free agency comes to a close, and once we get closer to April, in the end of April with the draft, we'll do our mock draft 3.0. Either on here on the show, or at least we will have it written up on the website as well. You can find that link on our Twitter account at the Slaw Sports Show. But we will do three mock drafts. 1.0 is already out on that link on on our website, on Twitter at the Slaw Sports Show. You can find our first mock draft of the season. Came out, I believe, early last month, early in February. So we got two more coming out, and then we'll get things rolling along with more episodes, more content as we get closer to the draft. And of course, announcing now, we will be doing an NFL live draft show here on the Slaw Sports Show, or maybe jointed with One-on-One Sports as well, back with our guys at Elon University. So keeping things updated with you guys on the current state, there will be a draft show. We will be having one either here or tag teaming with One-on-One Sports live 4 hours. First round of the NFL draft. We will be here to break it all down as it happens. Just as we did last year, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. We're going to bring it back again this year. Now let's get to the actual talk of the episode. And the big headline before we get to these quarterbacks, which I want to talk about so bad and I've been dying to talk about. But first and foremost, we do have to talk about Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper now seems like he is potentially out of the Dallas Cowboys, a big name now on the market for in the wide receiver market. And you think about the free agency that's about to come with the wide receivers, Chris Godwin, potentially could be tagged, but it's looking like he might test free agency. You got Allen Robinson testing free agency, Mike Williams. Not even going to talk about Davante Adams. Everyone knows he's getting tagged and he's going to stay, so we won't even bring him up in that regards. But, you know, it's still there. Still that potential. He doesn't sign that franchise tag, or they, you know, doesn't work out with the Packers. He could reach the market as well. But Amari Cooper's a big name. You know, 27 years old. He's had, I believe, 4,000-yard seasons in the National Football League. Didn't quite work out with the Cowboys. Had a big cap number. They're going to try to trade him, before they release him is what Ian Rappaport came out and said today. So we'll look to see what happens in the next few days and potentially into next week if they can find a suitor to take on Amari Cooper or if he ends up going into free agency after being released. Definitely a name to consider, especially with teams looking for that, you know, big body number one receiver. Jacksonville Jaguars, Miami Dolphins, and Indianapolis Colts. I'd say watch out for them as well with the cap space that they have, looking for a, you know, big wide receiver to pair with Michael Pittman. I think the Colts could be another option, especially if they're forced to keep a quarterback, we'll be talking about later on in today's episode. But Amari Cooper, big name, big headline came out today. I'm sure a lot of people are talking about it right now in Indianapolis, and a lot of the general managers are trying to, you know, pick up the phones if they need to in order to call the Cowboys, or just wait and see how it plays out. And if he gets released, try to make a move and offer him a big deal. But Jaguars, Dolphins, Colts are my initial thing teams to watch out for Amari Cooper. You know, Patriots could be another option. I'm still holding out hope that they go with Calvin Ridley, make a trade with Atlanta and try to get him is my thought process for the Patriots. But it's been a while. We got a lot to talk about and a lot of things on my mind to get out to you guys. So thank you all for listening. Hope you guys enjoy. Let's go ahead and get started with the 2022 quarterback market. So bringing it up here on this graphic, we got the quarterback market here. And look at these big names. These 12 are specifically the ones we will be focusing on today. These 12 guys in particular, and you can see on the graphic, the hot and the cold is currently my initial response to how they're sitting right now on this market. So let's start it off with the guy at the top, and the guy sitting right here behind us in Mitchell Trubisky. As you can see on this graphic, we do have Mitch Trubisky being the top guy on the list in the quarterback market this season. He has three little fire emojis there. The hottest one tied with Jimmy Garoppolo. But honestly, going back, I probably should have put a fourth fire emoji on Mitchell Trubisky. He is the sought-after quarterback on the market right now, I would have to say. Everyone's talked about him a lot throughout the week. A lot of shows, a lot of storylines. Big talk on NFL Network is all about Mitchell Trubisky and what Mitch can do coming back into a starting role in 2022. After spending 2021 behind the scenes with the Buffalo Bills, working behind Josh Allen, had a couple, you know, opportunities to see the field last season with the Bills, but it was the Josh Allen show, and now he's going to test free agency again, had a one-year contract with them. So now he's the sought-after quarterback, and especially considering when you look at the prospects, not a big draft prospect class this year in terms of the quarterback position, and a lot of these quarterback-needy teams, teams that know that they're just a quarterback away from taking their team to the next level and their franchise in the next step of the direction that they need to go, they could be looking at a guy like Mitch Trubisky. And a lot of teams at the Combine have noted they would rather have Mitch than some of the prospects that are out there. Ian Rappaport, what came out today on the Pat McAfee show, shout out to those guys, said that the market value for Mitch Trubisky could be somewhere in the $10 million range per year contract for him. Being a starting quarterback again in the National Football League. And really with Mitch Trubisky, the whole idea and narrative about him is kind of flawed, in my opinion, because of the coaching staff in Chicago, specifically Matt Nagy. And what Nagy did with Mitch Trubisky, he had some good years, and then really toward the end of his, you know, rookie deal, and you know the fallout in Chicago, had some bad years. But this is a guy who was a Pro Bowler. You know, he had a, you know, double-digit win season with Chicago, took him to the playoffs even. So Mitch Trubisky, there's a lot to be excited about in terms of what you can try to do with him with a different offensive scheme, different coaching, get him back on track and in the right direction. Still a young guy in this league with a lot of potential still to be tapped into in terms of what he can do as a starting quarterback. He's one I'm excited to see. Personally, in Chicago, he showed flashes of being a guy in the National Football League, but ultimately they couldn't quite get it fully out of him, and I would really like to see him get a starting job somewhere, whether it's, you know, in Pittsburgh, the current teams right now that really have really expressed interest in Mitchell Trubisky have been the Washington Commanders. the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New Orleans Saints. And the Saints make sense in terms of their cap space. They're not going to spend big on a quarterback. And if what Rapoport said is true, that the asking price could be around $10 million per year for a contract for Mitch Trubisky, I could really see the Saints, you know, coming in and, you know, trying at getting Mitch Trubisky. But Steelers, they're right now, I say, in the forefront for wanting to, you know, make a move on Mitch, and also the Washington Commanders, who, you know, specifically is a team that, you know, they know they're a quarterback away from turning that ship around with Ron Rivera and his staff. They know that they're just a quarterback away from doing it. Last year, they struck out in free agency with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who went down with a bad injury early in the season, had to turn around and rely instead on Taylor Heinicke to finish out the rest of their season. But ultimately, a quarterback, you know, system in place around Mitch Trubisky could really boost his quality as a starting quarterback, and I'm excited to see what kind of offers he gets once this stuff opens up. So number two up here on the graphic, we got Jimmy Garoppolo, and this one's really the interesting one because everyone knows he's gone. No shot as he go back to San Francisco. We will be seeing Jimmy Garoppolo on a different team in a different uniform by the time we get to the summer and training camp and into next season. You know, John Lynch is adamant all week long about Jimmy Garoppolo that, you know, he's wishing him the best, great guy, loved having him, but the ship has sailed. And, you know, they gave up 3 first-round picks last year in the draft to move up and take Trey Lance. He is their guy going forward for that franchise, and especially going forward into this year. So now the question with Jimmy Garoppolo becomes, what team will get him this season? Which team will make a trade, which is what's leaning towards right now for the San Francisco 49ers? They're expecting to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Adam Schefter said, you know, within this month, likely they will try to trade Jimmy Garoppolo at some point. But even if a trade isn't done, I could see the San Francisco 49ers trying to, you know, just dump him entirely, you know, release him, let him go out and find his open market and then find his team somewhere else. But trade obviously is the best scenario for the 49ers. Again, Ian Rapoport today came out and said that it's going to likely take a second or third round pick to land Jimmy Garoppolo, which, depending on how you feel about the guy, could be a bargain for a starting quarterback who is, you know, flat out has experience winning. The guy's a winner, whether or not you like him or not. And it's big for me, of course, to say that. But Jimmy Garoppolo wins games. And if the right system's in place, he has shown that he can succeed with certain teams and certain schemes, as he did in San Francisco, bringing him to the Super Bowl, bringing him on a big playoff run this past season. Lot at play here for a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo if you want to go out and get him. But there's a caveat. Jimmy Garoppolo came out today and said that, this week, and the media came out and reported that Jimmy Garoppolo will have to have shoulder surgery next week, and that complicates things. Because now you're trading for a guy that you don't know will be ready in the summer. You don't know how healthy he's going to be, especially with a shoulder injury at the quarterback position. It's definitely one that you raise an eyebrow at if you think about trying to trade for this guy. Even Ian Rapoport said that, you know, really the big thing with Garoppolo right now is this shoulder injury. The shoulder injury complicates things. All that kind of terminology is coming out now about Jimmy Garoppolo. So there's a risk with a potential low reward scenario for trading for Jimmy Garoppolo, which ultimately could point all signs toward a potential release if no one wants to trade for him. They can't find a partner going forward. But Jimmy Garoppolo is the second hottest player on this market. In the market, second hottest player here on the board with 3 fire emojis we got on him, because potentially someone's going to bite, and it's inevitable that he will be on a different team next season. Coming up here on number 3, we have Marcus Mariota, and coming in from, you know, spent time in Tennessee as a top draft pick there, same draft class as Jameis Winston. Didn't work out in Tennessee. They moved on and got Ryan Tannehill, spent the last couple of seasons in Oakland and Vegas with the Raiders, backing up with Derek Carr. Again, a guy who's come in situational moments for the Raiders the last few years. And again, when he's come in, he's shined and shown potential. But at the same time, he's had a lot of injuries in his time with the Raiders, had some injuries going back and with his time in Tennessee. So really, it's an injury concern with Marcus Mariota. But I do think he's still a hot free agent market to pursue. Even if he's not going to be, say, your long-term franchise starter, I still think there's value here with Marcus Mariota and an immense value getting him. And I think he's one of the best free agent markets at the quarterback position. Just think of what he can bring to a team. Leadership, you know, a strong backup, which is one of the most important, you know, positions to have in the NFL, is having a great backup behind your starting quarterback, and even a bridge gap guy with a weak quarterback class this year in the NFL draft. A team can just opt to go with Marcus Mariota for a year, you know, sign him to a one-year, two-year contract to where you draft the rookie next year kind of deal with Marcus Mariota and just have him kind of float with the team for this season. I think that definitely could be his feel in the market this year, and he could find good value in it with the market this year and the quarterback class coming in. But at the same time, teams like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Carolina Panthers are, you know, my potential spots I see Marcus Mariota landing in and actually having the opportunity to start and try to succeed and, you know, have the team build around him for the time being in Tampa Bay and in Carolina, and even potentially in Washington. If Washington, the Commanders, go the route of drafting a quarterback, especially one, say, Malik Willis or Matt Corral, one that you might want to sit for a little bit, get the feel of the NFL, and then plug him in. Marcus Mariota can be your, you know, set-up rookie-type guy and also be the strong backup behind the rookie. Being a big mentor to the rookie, behind him in practice, leadership, again, at the position, in the locker room, there's a lot of value. And, you know, behind the scenes, I'm sure a lot of people actually are enticed by what Marcus Mariota can bring to their team, just not being a franchise, per se, starter that a lot of teams are looking for. And even teams like the Giants or teams like the Cleveland Browns could be looking for a strong backup behind Baker Mayfield and Daniel Jones to pursue and, you know, add some fire and competition to their starter. You know, put a fire under Baker Mayfield or put a fire under Daniel Jones to really go out and perform this season and, you know, push their edge a little bit more. Could be the avenue to pursue with Marcus Mariota, in my opinion. And, you know, that I think would just be the best opportunity for him personally, getting to a team, getting a new feel and a new opportunity in a new city would just be a great thing for Marcus Mariota going forward. And I think he's going to have a good market for that as free agency continues and we get toward more of the trade opportunity. Free agency continues, get to the draft, get into the summer. Someone's going to take a shot on Marcus Mariota, in my opinion. So next up, we have Carson Wentz, old Carl in Indianapolis. And surprisingly, he's won the last couple weeks, really, you know, came out of nowhere and shot up on this quarterback market. And we put him up here with a one fire emoji going in. But there's a belief that he could be the one and done Indianapolis Colt as their quarterback. Got him last year from the Philadelphia Eagles. Had some up and downs this past season with the Colts, and really the ultimate downfall was that Week 18 game. Just the absolute ruined potential to go to the playoffs, an absolute collapse by the Colts in that final game and Carson Wentz. And all season long, he had questionable plays. You know, Pat McAfee always jokes about it all the time, big Colts fan, former Colts punter on his show. That is terrifying to watch him play. The guy's a maniac. And the Colts might, you know, want more security at their quarterback position, a safer option. And, you know, right now it's looking like they're going to try to explore the market and see if they can find anything better. And, you know, there's some big names on this list right here that could be better options for him if they're available for the Colts and be able to move on from Carson Wentz. And another team could leapfrog in here. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Carolina Panthers could leapfrog in and make a trade for Carson Wentz if he becomes available. And, you know, there's been some weird rumbling, some tea leaves, if you will, and some smoke, potentially, comments from Chris Ballard where he said, "We'll do what's best for the team." You can take that any way you want to for Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts' future together. They could potentially move on. They could potentially even go in and do something where they find a better quarterback. Or they just run it back with Carson Wentz again. And, you know, build around him like I was talking about earlier in the episode. Get a guy like Amari Cooper in the house and try to run it back for another year with Carson Wentz. But definitely an interesting name to keep an eye on. The big thing, though, with Carson Wentz and what Ian Rappaport came out and talked about, there has to be a better option. And right now, we don't know who that better option is that the Indianapolis Colts would want to pursue, where they feel safe, where if they got a new quarterback in, they got to ask themselves, is this a better situation than the one we were already in with Carson Wentz? And that's, you know, legitimate questioning and something to consider with this quarterback and with this team going forward. Now let's go over to Captain Kirk. Kirk Cousins up in Minnesota. And honestly, he's a guy, looking back on it today, I might have moved down a little bit. Maybe instead of a one fire, maybe a one ice emoji with him. But still, some rumblings for Kirk Cousins. They really picked up and died down really quick with the Carolina Panthers, potentially rumoring to be calling for Kirk Cousins, engaging the Vikings' interest. But Kevin O'Connell, the new head coach for the Minnesota Vikings, said that we'll that he's excited to build an offense around Kirk Cousins and work with him, being back with him, you know, back in their time in Washington, coming back now, being together in Minnesota is a big thing, of course, with the Minnesota Vikings' new general manager and, you know, the ownership in Minnesota, getting in Kevin O'Connell, a guy who knows Kirk Cousins, worked with him before, and potentially want to try to, you know, get him to that next level as a quarterback, win the big games he needs to get this team back into the playoffs. And their general manager has talked with Kirk Cousins and his agent about his future with the team. But the big thing right now is his cap hit. He's set to make around $45 million in all in 2022. It's a big, you know, a lot of money to paying at the quarterback position, especially for a guy like Kirk Cousins, in my opinion. And, you know, the Vikings feel the same way. They're trying to talk with him and his agent right now to get that number down, make it more team-friendly. But Kirk Cousins isn't backing down. He's not likely to restructure his contract, and that can prove to be a situation that presents rash decisions for the Minnesota Vikings, potentially wanting to move on from Kirk Cousins, something that honestly might happen. If you think about Kirk Cousins and, you know, the way this situation could potentially escalate if it does, but in my opinion, I do want to switch this around a little bit. I think he is a little bit cooling down in his market, looking like he might stay in Minnesota unless someone comes out of left field. You know, the Washington Commanders reporting just an hour ago that they're being heavily in their pursuit for a quarterback. They could be a team, you know, want to reunite with Kirk Cousins and offer a trade that Minnesota just can't refuse and have to give him up with his cap hit and his contract. It's just definitely something to consider for him going forward in this discussion and talk. Next up, we have it here, Deshaun Watson. Still some fire on him, just because, you know, not, you know, he's not a three fire guy, one fire right now, just because of the situation. We all know it by now with Deshaun Watson, still not resolved, still not figured out if, you know, he'll actually be available to play, still not figured out if teams are actually going to, you know, be wanting to trade for him, which teams will, which teams won't, that kind of scenario. But Lovie Smith and the rest of the Texans staff in Indianapolis were, you know, asked about it, you know, pretty much every time they're up on the podium with the media. Lovie Smith said the situation will eventually benefit Watson and the Texans, which points towards a potential big-time trade, you know, that gives the Texans, you know, multiple first-round picks, multiple draft picks in general, just to build up that arsenal to rebuild that franchise and, you know, give a team a guy like Deshaun Watson, you know, has been a year out of the league now, but still, at his peak, is one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the National Football League with top five potential when he was playing back with the Texans, you know, multiple playoff runs with that team, you know, that was bits and pieces put together with Bill O'Brien. So having Deshaun Watson on the market is still an interesting one to consider. You know, it's expecting he's going to be out of Houston in general as soon as possible, as soon as he, you know, possibly can with his current situation. And one team to keep an eye on here, and honestly, it goes for a lot of these quarterbacks, is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're in the market heavily. The team they have, the coach they have, the defense they have, they're a quarterback away from going on a big-time run here next season. And Watson has a connection with Brian Flores, who's been hired now as a defensive assistant, former head coach of the Dolphins. There was a connection there before he was fired from the Miami Dolphins that, you know, Watson might, you know, travel over to Miami. There's a situation where before the head coaching hirings, maybe Flores is going to go to Houston and Watson will stay. But now Flores is in Pittsburgh and Watson potentially might join him in Pittsburgh if they want to make that decision and go that route. But there's definitely a market for him. A lot of, you know, some teams going to trade a lot of picks for him once this contract, or excuse me, once this situation gets resolved. And if it does this season, Watson will be on the move and will be on a new uniform and back on the field if everything gets cleared up. And that's the big thing with Deshaun Watson. Next up, we'll go with Jameis Winston. And honestly, he's the guy I'd rather switch with Kirk Cousins here on this graphic we've made. I think because he's starting to heat up, especially today. There's been a lot of talk on Jameis Winston, especially this week. Everyone saw the workout videos. You know, he's, you know, a viral celebrity for his workout videos, always has been. But now rehabbing the torn ACL from last season, his recovery videos have been a big talk of the town on Twitter. But he's back to running. At the end of the day, he's looking good, rehabbing, and, you know, looking like he can be ready potentially for the start of the season. Might miss a couple weeks. But overall, he's an enticing guy to keep an eye on. You know, everyone knows how hit or miss Jameis Winston has been in his career. You know, the infamous 30 touchdown, 30 pick season. But last year as a starting quarterback for the Saints, he was 5-2 as the starter in New Orleans, did a lot of great things for that team, you know, before the ACL tear. And a lot of, you know, the Saints were excited to have him, get him moving in the right direction and have him, you know, working things through on the team and being their starting quarterback. And I think there's a situation when he's fully back, he can reunite with the Saints. I think they can get him back on an incentive-based contract that's very friendly with their cap, limited cap space they have, roll out Taysom Hill to start until Jameis Winston is healthy and ready to go, plug him back in as your starter, and try to run it back with Michael Thomas back in the fold in New Orleans. But also, the Pittsburgh Steelers, again, heavily targeting Jameis Winston in free agency to potentially be an option if he's ready to go for the start of the season. But at the end of the day, I mean, New Orleans said no, or excuse me, Tampa Bay, really, Bruce Arians said no with their reunion with Jameis Winston, and, you know, kind of looking at potentially what they can do with getting Blaine Gabbert back, a guy who knows the system. Kyle Trask is a guy that got in the second round last year they really like in Tampa Bay. So it's not looking like Winston will have a reunion in Tampa Bay with the Buccaneers. But Pittsburgh and the Saints, I think, are two big options for Jameis Winston to consider and something to think about going forward, just coming back from that ACL tear and having to rehab and, you know, get back into the fold physically is a big thing for Jameis Winston. Getting back on track and finding a home next season as a starting quarterback is going to be something to really watch for and see if he can get things back on track physically, mentally, and, you know, be able to perform back in the starting quarterback role. I'm really excited to see where Jameis Winston ends up. If he goes back to the Saints, I think it's a great situation for him. You know, run it back with a team and the system he knows. No longer having Sean Payton there being this head coach, but still the same system going to be in place. You get Kamara, you get Michael Thomas back, and really a lot of pieces to really work with, and a team that was close to making the playoffs last year, even after Winston went down. I think they could be a potential playoff team. With Tom Brady now out of Tampa Bay, the Falcons sitting where they are as a franchise, and the same thing with the Panthers. The Saints can come away and be the NFC-style champions next year very easily just by getting Winston back on a short-term, small-amount contract where it's very incentive-based and really helpful for their cap space. Could be a big thing for Jameis Winston and for the Saints, building that connection back together. So I'm excited to see where he ends up. He's an exciting player when he's playing, just because you never know what you're going to get, and that's the exciting part of it. And it's not like Carson Wentz, you know, where it's the potential dangerous plays. You know, the interceptions was a big thing with Jameis Winston, but he's not making bonehead mistakes like Carson Wentz is, you know, trying to play hero ball or anything. Winston just likes to force it. He likes to throw the ball downfield and throw into some tight windows, and you know, sometimes it goes the other way. That's the way of the road sometimes. But Jameis Winston, an exciting option to consider going forward, potentially, for the New Orleans Saints or even the Pittsburgh Steelers. You Yinzer Nation out there, if you want a guy in free agency and, you know, want someone to bring this franchise back up into the prominence, Jameis Winston could be that guy. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get to the rest of these quarterbacks on the board. So hang tight. You're listening to the Slaw Sports Show, and we'll be right back. All right, so let's keep things rolling here with our quarterback market. So we've been through Mitch Trubisky, Jimmy Garoppolo, Marcus Mariota, Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, and Jameis Winston. Now, next up, let's talk about the man himself, Gardner Minshew. Next up here on the quarterback market, a guy who, again, starting to cool off, really hasn't had that much of a buzz about him, but I think that should change. In my opinion, I think if a team wants to go out and make a trade and be aggressive, it should be for Gardner Minshew. He showed great flashes in Jacksonville before they ultimately turned the ship around to Trevor Lawrence. He was a great quarterback for them, very efficient, very effective, the same way in Philadelphia last season, filling in for that game against the Jets when Jalen Hurts went down. Gardner Minshew answered the call. You know, he went in being the starter pretty much right before the game, and pregame was announced that he was going to be starting over Jalen Hurts. I remember being live on the show. We had the Sunday slate of the Slaw Sports Show, you know, breaking down the, you know, all the games and, you know, all the matchups before they kicked off on Sunday. And we talked about the potential of Jalen Hurts not being available for that game. And while live, it was reported that Gardner Minshew will be the starter. And he went there against the Jets and shined and put up great numbers while doing so. Looked great throwing the ball on such short notice. And I think it should be, you know, if a team's looking for a trade, if a team's looking for a quarterback, I really do feel like, Gardner Minshew could be the one that you go after if you're in this market. And I'm, you know, so surprised that there's not that big of a market on him right now. $2.5, $4 million hit this year under his current contract with Philadelphia. Why not? That's a great contract to bring in as your starting quarterback. You know, you can even give him some incentives if you make a trade and get him in to your team. But at the same time, with Philadelphia, the argument there is, why would they trade him? You know, it's got to be a good offer to move Gardner Minshew, a $2.5, $4 million contract, you know, backup money behind Jalen Hurts. And it showed, he showed last season, if Hurts goes down, he can still get in and, you know, come in and win games for that team and for, you know, Coach Nick Sirianni over there in Philadelphia. So a trade would be needed, and, you know, a hefty trade to get Gardner Minshew out of Philadelphia, you know, considering, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles gave up, what, a sixth round pick to get him out of Jacksonville. You're gonna have to pay a lot more to get him out of Philadelphia to be your starting quarterback. But I do think he has strong starting quarterback potential, and I hate that he's being wasted on the bench in the backup role in Philadelphia. I want him to get a shot somewhere. I wish more teams were interested in him. I don't know what the holdup is and, you know, what the cold market is right now for Gardner Minshew. And it's something, you know, he's a player I want to see the market heat up for going forward. I'm excited to see what happens with him in his future. And if he stays in Philadelphia, you know, hopefully, you know, I don't want to wish injury on or anything bad to happen to Jalen Hurts. But if Hurts isn't the guy, you have Gardner Minshew. If you're the Philadelphia Eagles, and maybe that's the thought process. Still trying to figure out if Hurts is the guy and wanting a reliable option already in-house behind them could be the thought process in Philadelphia. But I've seen no reports about Gardner Minshew getting any interest from teams, you know, calling the Eagles, you know, just gauging their interest at all. You know, maybe it's going on behind closed doors, but I haven't seen that come to light yet. And, you know, he's a guy I wish could have a bigger market than he actually has going on right now in Philadelphia. I just don't quite understand it. I wish my boy the best in Gardner Minshew. Next up, we have Teddy Bridgewater, another free agent option to consider, but also another guy who potentially could re-sign with the Denver Broncos. Kind of got a cold market right now. Again, the Pittsburgh Steelers are targeting Teddy Bridgewater. The New Orleans Saints have been involved as well for Teddy Bridgewater. There's a possibility he reunites there. He knows that scheme. Played under it for a season with Drew Brees. Even played a couple games when Drew Brees was injured with his thumb injury, and Teddy Bridgewater had to come in for him. Looked great in New Orleans. Denver, not so much after getting that big deal. So exciting to see what the Broncos do as well. Their option that, you know, a quarterback on this list they've been heavily favored to get. He's definitely cold now. We see three ice cubes on him. So Teddy Bridgewater or a reunion in Denver, might be possible. Don't know exactly what's going to happen with the Denver Broncos, another team who's really a quarterback away. Do they give the reins fully over to Drew Lock for a season, let him be the starter for a full 17 games for once will be, in my opinion, a good thing to do. Or do they draft or keep looking at some of these options on the market for the Denver Broncos? But Teddy Bridgewater, definitely in consideration. He started, the majority of the games this past season for the Broncos, knows the offense, knows the system in place. As a guy that you can just put in and feel comfortable playing, potentially, if you're the Broncos. He was efficient, he was clean, he was safe. That's all you can really say about him. But other teams as well could be in the market for him. If some of these guys start getting plucked by other teams, no longer Garoppolo on the board, a Trubisky on the board, you don't want to, test your luck with Carl Wentz, and you want a safe option, Teddy Bridgewater could be your guy. You're not giving up too much for him in terms of trade value, as you would, say, a Kirk Cousins, a Deshaun Watson. You're not worrying about injury concerns with a Jameis Winston. Teddy Bridgewater could be a guy that you feel safe about if no options are available to you, coming in and being a starter or potentially a bridge gap for a year as well. We talked about with Marcus Mariota potentially being a bridge gap guy. Bridgewater's the same way. It's kind of the way that they felt in Carolina, even though he was a bridge gap for Sam Darnold. Needless to say, Teddy Bridgewater on the table here for a lot of teams. There's no real interest in him. But once this market starts drying up, it could start heating up. Those ice cubes could start to melt and a little bit of fire come into his market once some players and big names start falling off of this board. Next up, and we're getting to the two big ones that were really the talk of the offseason, but it's looking like they're starting to cool down, and we'll start with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson with the Seattle Seahawks last year, I think, had a bigger market potentially brewing for him. There's a lot of frustration after, before last season, in that offseason 2 years ago, where, there's a disconnect with Pete Carroll in the offense. There's, frustration over the protection and the lack of, investment on the offensive line to protect Russell Wilson. But it's looking like it's a little bit cleaned up. It's starting to cool off a little bit in Seattle, especially with Russell Wilson. He's coming out saying Seattle's the place he's at right now. He loves it there. He loves being in Seattle. And then, of course, John Schneider also coming out at the combine this week saying we're not shopping the quarterback, followed by Pete Carroll showing the same regards toward Russell Wilson. But now we've got coming out the Washington Commanders were heavily interested in Russell Wilson. We're trying to make a deal, trying to make an offer together to try to get him on the team and make a trade. And they had a strong offer, is what Ian Rapoport reported 28 minutes ago. Washington has been calling everywhere about trying to find a quarterback, and they had commitment to swing big with the Seattle Seahawks to make sure they can try to get Russell Wilson. It didn't go anywhere, but Washington showed they're ready to make a deal and willing to pay the top price for a premier quarterback in the National Football League through the trade market. But Russell Wilson, it's cooling down. I would have to say right now he loves being in Seattle, although he wanted to go back on the East Coast where he's from, be back on the eastern half of the United States. But really, ultimately, what Rapoport was coming out and saying today is that the family is a big difference maker in this and a big decision maker in this for Russell Wilson. They like being in Seattle. They like being on the West Coast, even if it's not Seattle, staying on the West Coast potentially for Russell Wilson. So it's looking like the market's definitely starting to cool down for a guy of his caliber. We know what kind of thing, what kind of potential a Russell Wilson type of player can bring to a team, the spark he can bring. He would look great in those new Washington Commanders uniforms, but it's not looking like it's going to happen. Cooling off a little bit on the Russell Wilson front, looking like he might stay in Seattle unless something drastic happens in the next few weeks. We'll see how it plays out. And next up, we got the bad man, two-time back-to-back MVP, my boy, Aaron Rodgers on the 3 Ice Cube Cold, and that's not any bias at all on my side. The market's cooled down tremendously for Aaron Rodgers this season. the Denver Broncos made a big, you know, looking like they're making a big play and want to make a big splash to get Aaron Rodgers in-house. They, you know, made the hire of Nathaniel Hackett, the former offensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers, worked closely with Aaron Rodgers, and he said that, you know, if he wanted to play anywhere else, he'd want to play for Nathaniel Hackett. A lot of rumblings that a trade potentially could happen. But all the cards right now are in Aaron Rodgers' hands, and really everyone's waiting for his announcement. Whether it's going to come this Tuesday on the Pat McAfee Show, next Tuesday on the Pat McAfee Show, eventually that decision will come on that program over there in Indianapolis with Pat McAfee and the boys. It seemed like they're holding the cards right now on the Aaron Rodgers decision front. Rodgers is a self-centered guy. He's not going to go out and, you know, tell people what his decision will be to where this gets leaked. It will be on that show he makes his decision. It's only a matter of when. In the meantime, Brian Gutekunst, general manager for the Green Bay Packers, came out this week at the combine and said he has not taken any calls for Aaron Rodgers in terms of the trade market potentially for the back-to-back MVP of the National Football League. And really right now, what Rappaport came out and said earlier this week is that the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers are working on a short-term 1 to 2 year contract that will make him the highest paid player in the National Football League. So that's obviously a big thing to keep an eye on if you're a Packers fan. Of course, you know, even just a fan of the league, if Rodgers stays in Green Bay, looking like Devontae Adams will follow suit and stay in Green Bay. But that contract, and especially the terms of that contract, would be one that considered Green Bay facing a tough cap situation right now, trying to get below that number. Made a lot of restructures, really the most restructures that they can make already. But still some things to come that can, you know, provide cap relief for the Packers, one of which is a Rodgers contract extension, lowering his cap number for the season, but still giving him the money he rightfully deserves. Is looking like the, you know, situation and the way this thing is going right now in terms of his market cooling down, looking like he's going to stay in Green Bay. Expect, of course, Devontae Adams to follow suit, and then the Packers should try to work with their roster what they can with the cap space that they have. You know, still something coming up for the Packers is a Jaire Alexander extension, maybe even a Preston Smith extension, all of which could push money back down the road and lower that cap number for Green Bay to try to run it back for one more season, potentially 1 to 2 more seasons with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback is one to consider. So at the end of the day, Brian G hasn't taken any offers and calls for Aaron Rodgers. That doesn't mean no one's calling. The GM's just not picking up the phone at the end of the day. So teams, you know, of course we're interested. The Pittsburgh Steelers looking like they're going to squeak in the market. The Denver Broncos heavily being the front runners for Aaron Rodgers. But now dying down, he's the heavy favorite to stay in Green Bay. And the market has cooled down tremendously for him. And right now, we're just waiting on the announcement. You know, Rodgers could come out on Tuesday and say, yeah, I want to be traded. Or, yeah, I'm going to retire. Which, of course, will put a huge spin on this narrative and on the situation as a whole. If he comes out and, you know, it's hard to say that he's going to come out and, you know, request a trade from the Green Bay Packers, especially if he's working on a short-term deal right now with the Packers. But if he comes out, you know, the two sides can't, you know, get together on a new deal, and he just says, you know, screw it, just, you know, find a trade partner, get me on a new team, I'm done. The market will heat back up, of course, tremendously. You know, you'll move him up here in this Mitchell Trubisky type category at the top of this quarterback market. But right now, he is at the near bottom with the Green Bay Packers and just waiting on the decision. That's pretty much what the point is right now with Aaron Rodgers and his future with the Packers, is the decision process of what's going to come for him going forward. And last but not least on our quarterback market talk is Derek Carr, quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. New general manager came in and Dave Ziegler, and also new head coach and Josh McDaniels, the Patriot tree taking over Las Vegas with the Raiders. And Derek Carr is one where, you know, a lot of teams were wondering, is he potentially going to be on the market now with the new GM, new scheme, new system coming into town? Maybe they, you know, want to go their own route at quarterback. So teams, you know, could have been interested, could have made some calls, could have been some interest there for Derek Carr. But as of late, it's looking like he will stay with the Raiders more than likely. You know, what Josh McDaniels said in his press conference, absolutely, there's no doubt about it, verbatim from Josh McDaniels. You can go ahead and quote it, slap it on the board. I think Derek Carr is going to stay. It's looking like he might get an extension. Dave Ziegler said that they haven't had extension talks yet with Derek Carr, but expect those to come, in my opinion, you know, throughout the season as we get closer to camp. I think Carr gets an extension with the Raiders to keep him there long term, and they commit to him being their franchise guy and figuring out how they can take his talents to the next level and this team to the next level to get over that hump that John Gruden couldn't quite get over with this franchise. I think Josh McDaniels is up for the challenge and ready to do so, and I'm excited to see him prove it. This is a team where they've really been a prove-it team the last 5 years. They've gotten close, but a lot of the time they're hovering in that mark where they can't quite get over the hump and prove it that they're a consistent playoff team. They made it this season, squashed out, you know, real quick in the first round by the Cincinnati Bengals. They're an interesting team, the Raiders, with this situation now, with Josh McDaniels coming in, with Derek Carr, you know, potentially staying at quarterback, which is looking more likely as the days progress, just exactly what this team will do going forward with their franchise. So that's the quarterback market laid out, boom, 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 all the way down the board. That's the current rumblings in the marketplace right now for these guys and what it's looking at right now going into next season, going into free agency, that kind of talk. So now let's talk about the teams. We talked about them briefly, the big names out and about searching for a quarterback. The Washington Commanders, the front runners, as I just alluded to previously, talking about Russell Wilson, they're being aggressive. They are going to aggressively find their guy because they know they're a quarterback away from being a playoff team and from competing again in the NFC East and taking back that division crown from the Dallas Cowboys. Expect them to make a big move. Whatever quarterback is on this board, wherever avenue they want to go, whether they trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, attempt to sign Mitch Trubisky, maybe even make a blockbuster trade for Deshaun Watson if that situation comes back into the fold and gets cleared up. The Washington Commanders are being aggressive, and even if they can't find nothing in the market right now with the current quarterbacks, they could look to the draft with their pick and try to take a Malik Willis, try to take a Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral, Desmond Ridder. They're going to make a move on a quarterback next season or to go into next season with a new guy at the helm for their team. Pittsburgh Steelers as well. In my opinion, looking like if it's not Kenny Pickett, who might be now out of their range, getting some buzz that they might have to move up for, which could also, bear with me, be an option, moving up in the draft for a guy, whether it's Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis, to be their guy in Pittsburgh. But also keep an eye on names like Teddy Bridgewater, Mitchell Trubisky, and Jameis Winston. A lot of interest from the Pittsburgh Steelers there on those guys, wanting a veteran guy that's ready and, ready to lead a potential playoff team into the playoffs and, try to make a run there with that team. A more veteran option could be the way they want to go. So that's why some of these names are big to talk about. And, other teams, the Saints could be interested in the quarterback market. They don't have too much to spend, per se. They don't really have a good enough draft pick. They'd have to move up to get a top guy if that's the route they want to go to. Doesn't look likely, in my opinion. The best case scenario is a Teddy Bridgewater or a Jameis Winston reunion in New Orleans is the best course for the Saints. The Carolina Panthers, Matt Rhule, he's in a big decision here with this team, really in a situation where he has to get it right. This could be his last year as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, and I don't think getting it right is running it back with Sam Darnold. So a decision has to be made in Carolina, what they want to do going forward with this team and with Matt Rhule entering into potentially his final year with the Panthers. Do they try to trade back and take a quarterback? Do they take a quarterback at six? Or do they try to get one of these options to potentially compete with Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback next season? I just don't see how they run with just Sam Darnold next season and potentially think that they're going to do any better than they did last season or the season before or the season before that under Matt Rhule. I don't like the situation in Carolina. A new quarterback has to be on the way in terms of them being potentially in this market for a quarterback. So a lot of names at play, a lot of teams at play, and exciting weeks to come and days to come in this free agent market and the quarterback market. But ultimately, a lot of stuff drying up right now, but still big names to consider and a lot of big options leading up to the draft where boards could potentially be altered and changed indefinitely. Looking toward our second mock draft at the end of this month, some teams aren't in the market for won't be in the market for a quarterback anymore. And it's important to consider and important to think about going forward. That's all the time we have. Thank you for tuning in and listening. And thank you for those who checked it out on the podcast as well. Check out some of our other episodes, you know, on YouTube. Watch them live. Play them back on YouTube. Or if you're a podcast nut and, you know, that's your forte, check out the podcast at The Slot Sports Show. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor.fm, Spotify, Overcast, anywhere you get a podcast, just search The Slot Sports Show and you'll be able to find it. Check out some of our other episodes. And bear with me. I promise you, more episodes to come in the future. I missed it. Getting back into the swing of things now, settled in here in Los Angeles and ready to get excited about some draft talk coming forward, some free agency talk going forward, some training camp talk going forward. It's a long year ahead and a long offseason ahead, and we're just getting started here on the Slot Sports Show. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for tuning in. And until next time, peace.